I'm talking to you about the blood covenant. I've been teaching that. This is number 5 week, and they'll probably put that in a little book series. If you learn this, you know, and you get this covenant down, man, I'm telling you, you'll never doubt again that you're born again. I want you to take notes and look these things up in your Bible. That way you'll know for sure that it's true and I'm teaching what's right on, you know, with God. And I want to show you the Bible basis for what we're saying. You know, we believe God wants you healed and healed every time. And if you understand what, when you entered into a covenant with Almighty God, to understand what He did for you, then you won't doubt anymore. Hallelujah. This will show you, you know, it's foundational to you knowing who you are in Jesus, knowing that covenant. And this will show you exactly what was done for you when Jesus went to the cross. See, we've been living far below our covenant promises. We have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You understand your Father lives in heaven where there's gold on the streets. Hallelujah. You know, he counts it. It's just gold on the streets and there's mansions there. There's one pearl there. There's a gate made out of one pearl. Can you imagine what that oyster looked like? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a real place. Hallelujah. And you know what? Do you think that a God who lives in a place like that wants his children to struggle and be defeated? And, you know, we wouldn't think much if, say, Pastor Bev came in here tonight and she had four or five little kids behind her and she was just dressed in gold and she had diamonds and all this stuff and her kids looked like they were just ragged, hungry. We wouldn't think much of her, would we? You know, bless God. God doesn't treat his children badly. The church has taught us that God's mad at us and he don't like us and he's ready to hit us. But God loves you. God loves you so much that he entered into a covenant with you. Hallelujah. See, it'll give you security in your walk with God to know just how much God does love you. See, I wish I'd known these things back when I got saved. Hallelujah. This, if you understand it, will cause you never again to doubt what's been done to you for you, and you'll understand for sure what it means to be saved. Sozos. Hallelujah. That word sozos means delivered, healed, have abundance. It has to do with overflow. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this will ground you in something that's very practical, and it'll work in your daily life, and it'll get you healed. This is the basis on which our friendship, our redemption, our commitment to God is based. And once you realize that, you'll see that the blood covenant is a legal thing. See, now I've used a set of scriptures all through this series, and I'm going to use them again. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13 in the New Living. It says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. That's who I used to be. You were called uncircumcised heathen by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you've been reunited with Jesus Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. People, you ought to say glory. I'm talking about a real living thing. You were away from God. You didn't know him. You were headed for hell. And then, bless God, he called you into the kingdom. And now you're headed for heaven. You understand that? Hallelujah. You're not far away anymore. You have promises. You enter into the very throne room of heaven. Hallelujah. If you were in times past, that means you're not now. Is that right? If you were without God in times past, that means now you're not. Let me ask you something. How many of you are sinners saved by grace? Come on now. Come on now. Right now. How many of you are sinners saved by grace? That's a trick question. That is not who you are. You were sinners. You got saved by grace. But now you're a king's kid. Hallelujah. You understand? The righteousness of God in Christ. A new creation. A child of God. There's no power in confessing I'm just an old sinner. Saved by grace. You know? No, you can't be both. You either got to be one or the other. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, He who knew no sin was made to be sin that you might be made. Hallelujah. You might be made. See, he who knew no sin, Jesus, never sinned, but he was made to be sin. Hallelujah. Took upon himself your sin. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. You understand? He took upon him your sin. Hallelujah. He was made to be sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. That's who I'm made to be. Hallelujah. It was his idea, not mine. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. I love that. I think it's John 15, 16. It says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I called you. Hallelujah. I love that. So he don't change his mind. He don't change. If he wanted me, he's got me. And he's got me for good. I'm not going anyplace. Hallelujah. And he promised never to leave me. Glory to God. See, there's power in that, confessing who you are. There's no power in confessing, I'm just an old dog, an old sinner. I'm just, no, you were. You were. He was righteous and he was made to be sin. You were sin and you were made to be righteous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now stay in what you're made. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't be confessing I'm an old good worm, just an old snake in the grass, lower than a snake's belly. I heard people say that. Just a rotten, filthy dog. No power. Hey, I'm in trouble. I need something to get me through. Come on. Hallelujah. I need something that'll get me through. I need some power. Hallelujah. And there's power in saying what God's word says. Hallelujah. God said to me one day, Evelyn, after I sent my son, after he gave his life to make you righteous and you come crawling to me telling me you're still an old rotten sinner, he said, I can't help you. I've done all I can. I thought, get behind me, Satan. It can't be God. Come on. I thought, I know I'm just a filthy dog. I know I'm a snake in the grass. But God began to deal with me then. Hallelujah. And there's power in saying what God says, not what you feel. Sometimes I feel like a snake in the grass. Oh, come on. I know you all feel so just gooey, gooey, spiritual all the time. But sometimes I don't feel so spiritual. How about you? Come on, be honest. Hallelujah. Sometimes I don't feel so spiritual, but it's not going on what I feel. Honey, when I went to that altar to get saved, I got down there and gave my heart to God. I didn't feel one thing. Nothing, not a goosebump, not a tingle for 7.5 years. I didn't feel anything, but I kept walking because the word said I was saved. Hallelujah. The word said, if I'd confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'd be saved. I did it, so I was saved. Hallelujah. And I was going to argue with God. I didn't know that he really wanted me saved. And I thought, I know you didn't want me, Lord, but you know what? When I get to heaven, if you say I can't come in, I'll embarrass you in front of all the angels and everything, because I'm going to tell you, you said whosoever, and I'm a whosoever. Now, isn't that dumb that I thought that he didn't want me? But I did. Now, I was afraid of the rapture, because I thought if the rapture comes, he may sneak off without me. And you know, isn't that funny? I really thought he might sneak off without me. So I was afraid of the rapture, but I knew if I died and I got before the judgment, I was going to tell him, you know, that he had to save me because I was a whosoever. Even if he didn't want me, he shouldn't have said it. But I found out he wanted me. Anybody else ever feel like that? Hallelujah. I found out he wanted me. And people have said to me, well, Pastor Emily, it's proud to say you're righteous. God said it. I didn't make it up. I'm just agreeing with what he said. He said, I'm righteous. Hallelujah. He said that I'm holy. He said that I got light in me. He said the greater one lives in me. He said I'm in the temple of the Holy Ghost. He said, hallelujah, I'm a conqueror and victory is mine. He said that. Hallelujah. Now what are you going to say? He said I'm healed. Glory to God. So what are you going to say? Was healing done at Calvary, or does he have to come back and do something else to get you healed? Reach out and touch the Lord as he walks by. Where's he walking? Come on. Hallelujah. You know what? He don't walk by till I walk by because he's in me. Till you walk out by, he's in you. He's not out there walking by someplace and you got to grab him. Hallelujah. Standing somewhere in the shadows, we find Jesus. Isn't that stupid? These songs we sing, unbelief, just fill with unbelief. Hallelujah. There's no shadows where Jesus is. And the one I like the best is, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Come on. Ain't no cabin. I'm not settling for a cabin. He said he went to get me a mansion. Hallelujah. And I want a mansion. Hallelujah. People saying these, you know, it's just laced with unbelief. Hallelujah. I heard about, I can't remember which preacher it was that he was preaching someplace, but before he got up, they sang all these songs, and he just screamed out, and he said, "Lord, make them shut up. They're lacing the air with unbelief." They were singing junk. Hallelujah. I think that was Smith Wigglesworth, you know. "They're lacing the air with unbelief. Make them shut up." Hallelujah. I was in a church service one, and this has nothing to do with covenant, but I'm just telling you this stuff. I was in a church service one time where they started singing this, "I won't have to worry anymore." And a woman got so excited, she threw her Bible up in the air. Her songbook, I think, was way up in the air. I thought, what are you getting so excited for? We don't have to worry now. Are you dumb or what? He said, we're not supposed to worry. She's all excited because when she got to heaven, she wouldn't have to worry. Come on, people. Hallelujah. Let's take the word for what it says. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I quoted that to you. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be made right with God through Christ." We're made right with God. Hallelujah. "He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Christ." Why did Jesus become sin? He became sin for me. Hallelujah. You know, we say, oh, God loves the world. God loves the world, but he hates his kids. Can't stand them. isn't that the way we treat each other and the way we talk? Like God loves the world, but he can't stand you. God loves us. Hallelujah. He don't just love the world. He loves his children. And I got an advantage, people. Hallelujah. It's set up in my favor because of this covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then when I get into trouble, you know, he said I could come and cry and beg and crawl to the door of heaven and confess to him how unworthy I am. No, no. And that's what people do. But no, you've told God nothing when you've told him how bad you is. How bad you is. He already knows you is bad. Hallelujah. You don't have to convince him. Hallelujah. We've had a rough day, guys. Hallelujah. But he made you to be worthy. He gave you all that, you know, he was. He gave you everything so that you could be accepted in the beloved, so that you might come boldly to the throne of grace, so that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. You can think, you know, you think you can get to God on your own? Do you think on your best day you could get to God on your own? Wake up, people. Get to know who you are in him. On my best day, I can't make it. But on my worst day, I can. You know what? I can make it because of him. See, I mean, he looks at me the same when I've had a bad day as when I've had a good day. Glory to God, because he looks at me through the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you've been real good and done everything right, you feel so holy and so good. You can go to God for something. You feel like you deserve it. You know what? And you should be living good and doing things right. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but let me tell you something. You're just as righteous on your bad days as you are on your good ones. Now, come on, that'll kick your sacred cows over. But bless God, he said, I'm righteous. When he made me righteous, I'm not in and out. Oop, I'm righteous this day. Hallelujah. Oh, I fell again. Now I'm not righteous anymore. Oh, I'm righteous again. Come on. We think we go in and out, in and out. No, we don't. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me. And he accepted me. Hallelujah. And he put me in the beloved, and he's not going to take me out. Come on. Is this helping anybody? Hallelujah. See, we sin. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about open rebellion, rebellious sin. That's not what I'm talking about. How many of you came in here tonight to find out how much sin you could do before you fell out of grace? None of us did that. You know, we're not trying to see how much we can sin. We're trying to find a way to stay out of sin and walk in holiness and walk, you know, I want to walk close to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what you think on most is your God. Come on. What do you think on most? A lot of people think on their sin more than they do about God. Hallelujah. But we sin, then we go to God and confess our sin, then we beat ourselves up about 3 days. Then we feel like we suffered enough and we can go and accept forgiveness. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Anybody ever did that? You know? Yeah. Hallelujah. Why couldn't you just go to God and confess your sin and accept your forgiveness right away? Because you think God needs your help for your sins to be forgiven. After you beat yourself up for a few days, you feel like the blood of Jesus will work. Wrong. God don't need your help. Hallelujah. You don't come to God on the basis of what you've done or what you haven't done. You come on what Jesus did. Bev and I went to pray for a man yesterday who had, they said he had cancer of the larynx, and he had started to choke, and they had to put a trach in, and then he couldn't breathe, so they had to put him on life support. And anyway, they had, you know, the thing was breathing for him, and they said he had cancer of the larynx and cancer of the throat and the voice box. And anyway, they just made a bad pronouncement over him. And she and I went in there, and he couldn't talk because he has this thing in his throat. But we began to tell him, you won't get healed because you've been good or bad. You won't get healed because of who you've done, who you are, or what you've done. You'll get healed because of what Jesus did and who's in you. And we felt like he really received that. Tears began to... Now, this is a... He used to be a biker and a big guy with a beard. And I mean, here he lay with tears coming down his cheeks. And today she called me and told me that there's no cancer. There's no cancer. Hallelujah. 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 See, bless God, I'm so glad that we serve a God that we can go in and say to people, God will do this. He will back his word. God loves you and he will back his word and he backs it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you come to God on what Jesus did. God made it easy, but we've made it hard. Religion has made it hard, but God made it easy. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 43:25, it says, Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. In the New Living, it says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Glory to God. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Quit reminding him. He's pretty tired of hearing you rehearse your sins that have already been forgiven. Hallelujah. He don't know what you're talking about. You keep confessing the same thing over again. His blood's already covered it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're in covenant with Almighty God. For whose sake did he do it? He said he did it for his sake. Now, we don't pray for his sake. We pray in the name of Jesus. But he did that so he could have children in his family, so he could cut covenant with us. God created you so you could fellowship with him. Hallelujah. I saw something this week about the three mighty men over in Second Chronicles, I think, or First Chronicles. Anyway, it talks about David had three mighty men, and then he had 30, but they never attained to the first three. And I thought, well, what'd they do? So I looked to see what they did. You know what they did? They broke through. David was, they were having battle, and the Philistines had taken the well in Jerusalem, and he said, oh, that I could have water from that well. These three men broke through and got the water and brought it back to David. Do you know what? They ministered to the king, and those were the mighty ones, not the ones that killed giants and did all this other stuff. I mean, that was a good thing too, but it was those that ministered to the king. Oh, glory. He wants us to minister to him. We were created to love on him. Hallelujah, to be a pleasure. For his pleasure, you're created. Hallelujah. You know what? He wants to do everything. He wants to heal you for his pleasure. Hallelujah. He made it easy. He made it easy for you to get your sins blotted out so it wouldn't kill you to come into his presence. He made it easy for you to get healed. Hallelujah. In Revelation 4:11, it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. For his pleasure you're created. Amen. I know I'm jumping all over the place here, but I'll pull it all together. Okay? Hallelujah. You were created for His pleasure. Sometimes I just sit before Him and say, Lord, let me pleasure You today. How can I just give You pleasure? You know, we can't do anything for Him except spend that time. And that's all He wants, is our time. Mary and Martha. Martha's trying to feed Him, for goodness sake. And He got on her. You know, He said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things. He said, Mary's chosen a good thing. What did she choose? Here she is, sitting in there just loving Jesus. Hallelujah. See, bless God, when you just love Jesus, He'll take care of the other things. You're not going to have to worry about all that stuff. She could have brought a bowl of beans in there and said, here, Lord, I'm sitting here listening to you. If you want more food, you'll have to multiply it. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. I love that. He just wants us to sit in His presence. We got back here tonight to pray before service, and I tell you what, the power of God was so strong, it felt like I was going to just fall down. And then we began to laugh, and we laughed, and we laughed, and don't ask me what we were laughing about. We're just laughing. Hallelujah. And that just does you good. It's laughter doeth good like a medicine. But don't ever come to God on your own merit. You don't have any. Okay? Don't come telling Him how good you are and what you've done. Hallelujah. You come praising His Son. You know, the best way you can make me feel good is tell me how good my kids are, my grandkids. You know, that lights my fire. You know, you start telling me how good my husband is and say nice things about my family. You know, man, that tickles me. Well, it's the same way with God. Sometimes you just need to come to Him and say, God, I want to tell you how great Jesus is. I know you already know it, but just let me tell you. Oh, He's so wonderful. I love Him. He's my best friend. He's the best friend. He sticks with me. He's my healer. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for sending Your Son. Thank you, God, for sending Your Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, that's what we don't do. We don't take time. Sometimes we're too busy ministering and laying hands on people. And yet He wants us to sit at His feet. Yes, He wants us to lay hands on people. But you know what? If we'll get full of Him, then we're going to have more to give. Hallelujah. And see, if you're born again, you got the anointing within you. You just need to get some knowledge. And bless God, we're going to see revival like we've not ever seen. I'm looking to see hands grow on. Hold that hand up there, Jeremy. I'm looking to see hands, fingers grow on that hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad. He sees fingers. See, He sees it. He sees a hand. That's why He's not ashamed to hold that hand up there. Hallelujah. I want you to see it too. Hallelujah. See, fingers grow. We've seen it. Hallelujah. We knew a little boy dead, born without a hand. Now he's got hand and fingers growing and a thumb and a pulse. Hallelujah. Didn't have any of that. Glory to God. It's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. We've seen God create kidneys and put kidneys in people that didn't have them and create when bones were dead and call life back into bones. Hallelujah. And we've seen legs grow and we've seen people get new hearts and we've seen dead babies come back to life. Hallelujah. We've seen people that they said was going to die and we told them they wasn't. When we say, it's going to be like we say because we say what the Word says. We've seen it with our own eyes and we're going to see more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wherefore, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which was called circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. I know I read this to you before, but I want you to get this down in you. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes for far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Paul is lining up something here. He says there are circumcision and there are uncircumcised. There are covenant people and there are those who have no covenant, are not covenant people. When you were outside the covenant, you were without Christ, outside the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. Do you know what the covenants of promise are? It's not, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. It's not getting to heaven. Listen to me. How many of you know that heaven is not a goal? Does that shock you? Are you striving to get there? Did you ever hear anybody testify, Lord, I just want to thank you for saving me. Saving a weary pilgrim just passing through. I want y'all to pray that I'll be found worthy to make heaven my home. We used to hear testimony like that. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sorry, but I thought Jesus saved you. These people think heaven is a goal, and they're trying to work to get there. How many of you know that if you're saved, there's no place else you could go? Hallelujah. Come on. If you're saved, hell won't have me. If I'd go to hell, it'd spit me out because I got Jesus in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm not always this wild, son. We got new people from a different church, so hallelujah. Sometimes I'm worse. Hallelujah. But how many of you know that if you're saved, there's no place else you can go? How'd you get saved? By faith. What kept you faith? What kept you saved? The power of God. Hallelujah. Heaven is a destiny. It's not a goal. Hallelujah. And the goal is the covenant promises of God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off are made near by the blood of Jesus. The blood. See, Jesus is the mediator. Now, God doesn't work with human beings unless he works with a legal contract. You understand? That's what the Word of God is. It's in the Word. And if it's in the Word, it's his will. The Word is his will, and his will is his Word. And people come telling me all kinds of things that God said to them. Well, God woke me up the night, and he spoke to me, and he said, and all this junk they tell me. If it's not in the Word, God won't say it. Come on. Hallelujah. Check it out with the Word. Hallelujah. He'll say what's in his word. His word is his will, and his will is his word. And bless God, if you're going to tell me that it's not always God's will to heal, I know you haven't read the word. Because the word says, beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. The word says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? How many? All thine iniquities. Who healeth? How many of your diseases? All your diseases. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Himself took my infirmities and bore my diseases. Hallelujah. Heal me and I will be healed. There's all these scriptures where he talks about healing. The man with the leprosy came to him and he said, if you're willing, you can make me whole. Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I am willing. I am willing. If he ever said he's willing to heal anybody, glory to God, he's willing to heal me. Hallelujah. You understand that? If it was his will to heal that man, it's his will to heal this one. Hallelujah. See, it's not his giving. We're all crying, oh God, come down, heal me, come down, heal me. He already came down. He already healed you. Now it's you up to you to receive it just like salvation. We don't ever cry out, oh God, come down, save me, come down. No, you know, we just got to receive what he did. Well, same way with healing. It was all done on the same day. But we're all looking for a big something. You know what? Some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen have been when I didn't feel one thing. Hallelujah. You know, I remember going to the hospital one time. And when I got up there, they told me, said, you can't go in there. She's dying. She's too sick. Well, the daughter-in-law waited. The nurse went by, and she pushed me in and said, get in there. I thought, okay. So when I got in there, I began to talk to the woman about being saved. And I told her, I said, now, do you believe that Christ has redeemed you from the curse? And when I lay hands on you, you're going to be healed? She said, yes. Now, they told me she wouldn't live till the next day. But on Monday, that was on Saturday, on Monday, they let her go home, and she was driving her car. Hallelujah. And I didn't feel one thing. You understand? I waited till like 5 o'clock in the afternoon trying to feel something because I didn't feel real spiritual when they called me. I'm praying. See, I don't have to feel anything. You understand? I went to the hospital one time to pray for a woman who was dying with cancer. She had cirrhosis of the liver, and they operated and they said, well, you know, she's going to die. She was in a coma, and I went up there. And I mean, she's in a coma, and I'm down on my knees praying. And I remember when I went to the car, I was cried all the way home. I told Roy, I said, that prayer didn't get any higher in my nose. I said, I'm just crying. That woman got healed in spite of me. Now, I used to have a little faith accident every now and then. You can't go on faith accidents after you know a little something, but I used to have a little faith accident. Hallelujah. Anyway, she's still alive. That's been 30 years ago. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You understand? God will do some things, but we got to believe him. Now, when I was down there praying, I really believed God was going to meet me, but I didn't feel nothing. So then I thought he didn't come in because I didn't feel nothing. I don't have to feel it. Hallelujah. You know what? I just got to believe it. Come on, people. Hallelujah. If you can feel it, the devil can get in on it. You understand that? If you can see it or feel it. If I can see it, I can change it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if someone prays, if it be thy will, concerning what God's already said, they're publicly confessing they haven't taken the time to find out what his word said about it. Hallelujah. You don't ever have to pray if it be thy will when it comes to salvation or healing, prosperity. Now, if you want to know if you should move from here to there or who to marry or something like that, then you've got to pray, you know, God's will into that. But bless God, when he's already said what his will is, then you take that. God's will is spelled out in his word. If it's not in his word, God won't do it. God meant what he said. You know, I hear people telling me that God didn't really mean what he said. Well, what did he say if he didn't mean it? Come on. What did he say? And they'll say, well, you know what, he didn't mean that. Well, who of you think you're smart enough to tell him what he did mean? If God ain't smart enough to say what he meant. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. It said, for all the promises. How many? All. What does all mean? You know, I looked that up one time. You know what all means? All. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the promises of God in him, in who? In God, are yea. What does yea mean? Yes. And in him, amen. You know what amen means? It means so be it. Unto the glory of God by us. That means if it's in the word, if it's a promise, all those promises are yes. He'll never tell you no to a promise. People say, well, God told me he wasn't going to heal me this time. God didn't tell you that. God healed at Calvary. Now, come on, people. You know, your religious mind will kick this out, but don't do that. Look at what the word says. Did God say, by his stripes you are healed? Did he say, only a few of you? And if you've lived good and had a good day and you've never done anything wrong? No, you know what? I've told you before, your sin is none of the devil's business. Come on. My sin, Jesus took care of. He did. Glory to God. And people, I'm not trying you know, I'm telling you, you live as close to God as you can live. You love on Jesus and you, man, as quick as you know you've done something wrong, get it under the blood and keep going. But I'm going to tell you something. My sin is none of the devil's business and he has no right to aggravate me with it. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. See, you've got to get that straight. And if you get that straight and you know for sure that God loves me, I'm in covenant with him, all he has belongs to me, then bless God, I'll have no problem going to him and getting healed. You understand that? Most of us don't get healed because we can think of 100 reasons why we shouldn't. Can you? I can think of 1,000 reasons why I shouldn't. I can only think of one why I should. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I don't get what I deserve. I get what he paid for. Amen. Hallelujah. All are in him. Yes, and so be it. God gets glory when you get your prayers answered. Healing means healing. By his stripes you are healed means by his stripes you are healed. He heals all your diseases. Redemption means redemption. Up means up and down means down. And a blood covenant means a blood covenant. When are you going to decide to make Jesus and his word your authority and not what you feel, see, hear, or smell? Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I want to share with you how this thing evolved and finally ended up at the Passover and finally ended up at communion and then ended up in a relationship sealing between God and man. First of all, let me tell you what a covenant is. A covenant is a mutual agreement, a declaration of intended will and purpose. In the Hebrew, it comes from the word cutting. In the Greek, it means a lopsided agreement. I love that. One-sided. You know, hallelujah. That exchange, that unfair exchange where he took my sin, hallelujah, and gave me his righteousness. Where he took my disease and sickness and gave me his healing, hallelujah, and soundness. Where he took my poverty and gave me prosperity, hallelujah. In other words, in the new covenant, God does all the giving and man does all the receiving. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, it wasn't my idea. You know, hallelujah. A covenant is a declaration of intended will and purpose between two parties, two nations are God and his people. God is truth, and he's absolute, and he's declared his truth, his person, and his word. In the ancient Semitic rites of blood covenant, it was a mutual agreement. It brought together the closest possible partnership, closer than blood. A brother could kill a brother and live, but a blood covenant brother could not. You know, it was a sacred thing. It was a spiritual thing. It was done openly in front of many witnesses. It brought together a friendship of the most loyal, enduring force possible. There was only one man in the Bible who was called a friend of God. Anybody know who that was? Abraham. Now, does anyone else know who's been called the friend of God now? I am. Hallelujah. We have. Jesus said after his resurrection, you're no longer servants, but friends. If you do what I tell you, keep the covenant. Hallelujah. That's what happened, or this is what happened during the sealing of the blood covenant. Let me just tell you this. In 1 Samuel 20:16-17 said, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Lord, let the Lord even require at your hand the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him even as he loved his own soul. See, Jonathan and David cut a covenant here. And in verse 42 it says, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed and my seed and thy seed forever. Do you see that? And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. That was the terms of the covenant. I want to show you what they did, how they made a covenant. God said, it's my covenant with you, not your covenant with me. And God made a covenant with Abraham. And in Jeremiah 34:18-20, you know, you look all these things up and you find these points of the covenant. He said, I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they made before me when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. That's what they did. The princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem and the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf. See, when they made a covenant, they would pass between those pieces. I showed you that last week. I will even give them the hand of their enemies and under the hands of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth. God said, Israel, you've transgressed my covenant. You have not fulfilled the word of my covenant, which you made before me when you cut the calf in pieces and passed between its parts. See, one of the parts of the covenant, I told you there's nine points to the covenant, and one of them was they cut an animal and they separated it, and then they walked between those bloody pieces saying what was going to happen to you if you broke that covenant. When Jonathan and David did that, they made a covenant. They cut the calf in pieces and they made a figure eight around it. Then David said, this is the covenant I will make with you, Jonathan. I will love you as myself. In fact, I'll love you more than myself. I'll love you as my friend. And they made a covenant friendship. Hallelujah. Now see if you bring that down to what God did. Hallelujah. The first point of the covenant was they exchanged garments. David and Jonathan exchanged garments. And I told you that Jonathan was the son of a king. And he gave the shepherd boy his kingly robe. And he took the shepherd boy's coat. They exchanged coats. They exchanged garments. He said, I'll be your covering. You know, we become one. Everything I got belongs to you, and everything you got belongs to me. See, when Jesus did that, when God and Jesus cut that covenant for Abraham, when they passed, remember I showed you back in Genesis, where they, in Genesis 15, where they passed, it was a smoking furnace and a burning torch. If you weren't here, you'll have to get I don't have time to reteach it, but that was the presence of God and Jesus. They walked the covenant because he knew Abraham couldn't keep it. Hallelujah. And so God was saying, everything I have belongs to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All I have is yours, and all your my descendants have is yours. And Jonathan made the same declaration. See, they declared. When I looked up Israeli covenants, they would take a cup of wine, and each man would mark himself, and they would bleed together. And then they would make a scar. Hallelujah. That was imparting each other's life into the other one. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. God has got a scar. Jesus had scars and imparted his life into me. Now I'm accepted in the beloved. You see how close this thing is? I'm in covenant with Almighty God. Hallelujah. When I looked up Israeli covenants, that's what it said they did. That was an imparting of each man's life into the other. The blood covenant lasted to all generations. It could not be broken. It could not be broken. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God said, come unto me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll keep you. And your kids can come. You can mark your kids. You understand that? Well, they got a will. They sure do. But I'm going to tell you something. God can put so much pressure on that. As I stand on that, he promised me if I'd raise them kids in fear and admonition of the Lord, they would not depart from it. He promised me that great should be the peace of my children. All my children be taught of the Lord. He promised me the seed of the righteous to be delivered. And bless God, if my kid died lost, I'd raise him from the dead and get him saved, and then he could do what he wanted to do. But there won't be one of my kids die lost, because God promised. I'm in covenant with God. It was an everlasting covenant, and it went to all generations. Hallelujah. See, if either man broke it, they'd be put to death. I want you to realize this is a covenant between me and God, because Jesus walked my part. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. He saw you were going to blow it. He knew you'd mess it up before you got to the coffee pot. So he just walked it for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, if either man broke it, they'd be put to death. So God said, I swear by my own self. He couldn't find anybody else bigger to swear. You know, when you go to court, you lay your hand on the Bible and you say, I swear, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Help me, God. Well, God said he swore by his own self. Hallelujah. So God would have to destroy himself before he would break the covenant. But he knew you'd break it, so he sent Jesus. And Jesus kept my part. Hallelujah. He kept my part. Hallelujah. Now all I have to do is love the Lord my God and my neighbor as myself. And, you know, we're trying to keep all these Ten Commandments. And you know what? Well, that's a good thing to live by. And we ought to be trying to strive for that. But you know what? Sometimes I have a bad thought. How about you? No, you never do. I'm sorry. I know. But you know what? God took care of that. The feelings of my infirmities. And what is that? Isaiah 53:11, is it? Hallelujah. It said, with the consequences. Oh, I love that. Whoa! Are you listening to me? You need to look that up in the Amplified. It said that God took care of our sin. With the consequences. People told me I had to suffer the consequences for years. But hallelujah, God took care of my sin with the consequences. Hallelujah. Glory. Tim, is it possible to put that up there? Isaiah, it's 53:11 in the Amplified. I don't know if he can do that or not, but oh my goodness, it's so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to realize this is a covenant between me and God. Yes. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Once a man's integrity was his word, but God's integrity is still his word. Hallelujah. It's awful that God's people lack integrity. You know, the world says if you want to get skint, just, you know what skint is? That's skinned in English. Yeah. Look at that. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. I want it in the Amplified. That's the King James. I want it in the Amplified. You can't do that. Okay. Okay. Would you look that up in your Amplified and I'll read it to him? Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Glory. She's got she had the mic there. You can just read it to him. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. This is the Amplified. I lived on this for 2 weeks. Just lived on it. Go ahead.
You want the whole verse or just that part?
Verse 11.
Okay, verse 11. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others. Shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify many and make many righteous, upright, and in right standing with God, for he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord.
With the consequences. He'll bear your guilt and iniquity with the consequences. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Hallelujah. He'll bear your sin and iniquity with the consequences. Hallelujah. Now, you better not teach that. Boy, people just go out and sin. You know, they'll just sin. You're just giving people a license to sin. I've told you 100 times you'll sin without a license. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Does that make you want to sin? It just makes me want to love Jesus. I don't want to go out and sin. I want to think that he'd bear all this for me and he'd bear the consequences of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I told you once a man's integrity was his word, but God's integrity is still his word. It's awful that God's people lack integrity. The word says, hallelujah, that we ought to walk right and live right. Christians lie just like the world does. You know, the only difference is that the world calls it lying and we call it indiscretion. Or we call it a white lie. What's a white lie? Still a lie. I don't care if it's black or blue or yellow or green. Still a lie. Hallelujah. Oh, it's just a little white lie. No, it's a lie. Come on. What is that? See, we look just like the world. We watch the same movies, listen to the same music, hang out in the same places, do just what they do. And we call ourselves believers. Believe what? That if we don't like our partners, we get a divorce? See, these things ought not be. You understand? I'm talking to you about a clean living. Hallelujah. Some of our worst hurts have come from the hands of a Christian. That ought not be. They can be the meanest people on the face of the earth. Anybody can say amen? Come on. We got some good ones too, but I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you about integrity, and God's people ought to have integrity. Hallelujah. They don't do what they say they will. They borrow things and don't return them. You know, I have to get off of this. But some real talented people in the body of Christ can't be used because God can't trust them. Come on. Hallelujah. Be careful, people. Don't give God's people and his reputation a bad name. Okay? Okay, we'll back up. So now, got real quiet around here. I bet all of you are thinking, what did I borrow I didn't take back? Hallelujah. You know, so if God said it, he'll back it up. He watches over his word to perform it. His integrity, his honesty, his covenant is in the word. It's in his covenant. So David took off his coat and he and Jonathan exchanged garments. This is a covenant of friendship. The Jews took the words of the covenant made with their father Abraham and they hung it between their eyes. I told you it was called a phylactery. They still do that. They carried the papers. They exchanged gifts. They drank the wine. I saw Jewish men in Israel with little plastic boxes hung in their foreheads. And I thought, isn't that too bad? They have the truth on their head, but it's not in their heart. Hallelujah. When Stanley and Livingston went to Africa and they made a covenant with the most notorious African chief, a powerful savage. Now, Stanley had, you know, you've read about Stanley and Livingston. Well, he had an ulcer and he took a milk goat with him wherever he went. And the savages were going to kill him, but he got the chief to agree to cut a covenant with him. They had a ceremony and they cut their wrist. Now, the book said that the Africans didn't drink blood and they had no wine, so they used some sort of beer. I read some, you know, books to see, you know, get some of this. They cut their wrists and they clasped their hands together and the blood flowed. The American Indian had the same, you know, or a similar custom. The blood flowed and they exchanged gifts. Then the African chief said to Stanley, I want your goat. Well, the most prized possession he had. And there was nothing he could do if he didn't keep the covenant, they'd kill him. And you didn't give second best, you give the best you got. And he gave his goat. The chief gave him an old staff, an old stick with a symbol on top. What a trade, a milk goat for an old stick. He thought he really got the bad end of the deal, but he started carrying it with him. And it was the scepter of the most powerful African king in the Congo. And everywhere he went, when they saw that staff, they saw that scar on his wrist, they treated him like royalty. See, the guy didn't even have a suntan, but he was blood brother to the most fiercest African chief. And as a result, he cut covenant with 120 other chiefs and got to bring them to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I could stop here and do a jig. Do you know why? Because I have a king today who has given me a scepter, and it's the word, and it's the name of Jesus. And everywhere I go, hallelujah, I can use that scepter, and it opens doors of favor for me. Hallelujah. And it gets people healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Gets me into places I could never go. The blood covenant binds people together. Do you know where the marriage ceremony came from? It was a covenant of rings. In ancient Israel, after the wedding, there was a piece of cloth with blood on it flying in the breeze to show that the woman was a virgin. If it was not there, the husband could dump her on the spot. She was unclean. It is the sealing of a marriage covenant with blood. They stood there and said, "Till death do us part." That marriage contract was a covenant of integrity. And when the rings were exchanged, either in the nose, around the neck, or on the hand, they were making blood covenant, and by George, come what may, they could not break it. It was an unbreakable covenant, and only death could break it. Now let me show you the beginning of the blood covenant. In Genesis 2, Adam and Eve sinned. Adam did his best to appease and offended God with it, and his own conscience with a fig leaf. When Adam was walking with God as a friend, he was completely naked and was not conscious of it. But the moment he broke relationship with God and ate of the tree, he lost his God consciousness and became self-conscious. He no longer was a friend of God. Now he had a new father. And God took an animal and killed it and took the skins and covered it. The shedding of blood brought that atonement, that covering. It gave them a measure of fellowship. It was the beginning, and now we find covenant all the way down through the scriptures. The first thing Noah did when he came off the ark, he shed blood and made a covenant with God. Hallelujah. Noah offered a substitute, then God sealed the covenant with a rainbow. In Exodus 19:20, it said, "And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up, and Moses met with God, and God gave them something else. The Lord instituted the atonement and the sacrifice. And when they came out of Egypt, they had Passover. God said, take an innocent lamb, the best you have, the firstborn, kill it, and sprinkle the blood on the door. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, because you're covenant people." Come on, hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. You understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he sees the blood, he cannot cross the bloodline. Draw that line of blood and tell the devil, "You're not coming in here." Hallelujah. "You're not killing my family. You're not killing my wife. You're not killing my husband. This belongs to me. You get out. I got a covenant with Almighty God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you think that the blood of a lamb, a regular lamb, could keep the death angel out by faith? What do you think our faith in that blood of Jesus, our precious lamb, can do? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God said, "Take an innocent lamb, the best you got, the firstborn, kill it, and sprinkle the blood on the door. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, because you're covenant. And the blood shall be for you a token." This is verse 13. "The blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." From that time, Adam sinned till God met an old man, 75 years old, from the Ur of Chaldees. God had no covenant with man. Now we see the plan of redemption, Genesis 3:15. He said, "I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The seed of the woman would step on the head of the serpent, step on his neck, break him, literally destroy him. Hallelujah. Did he do it? Hallelujah. "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy, loosen, dissolve, and undo the works of the..." Did he fail? No. Okay, did he undo the works of the devil? Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus did it on the day of resurrection. Jesus set the devil down in a big old dental chair and jerked out every tooth he had. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now the devil is God's toothless wonder. He's been stripped of all of his authority. And if you're dumb enough to let him gum on you, you got problems. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Colossians 2:15. "In this way he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." Victory. Victory. Hallelujah. "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them." That's what the King James says. "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." You need to tell the devil you know that. The greater one's on the scene. Back off, Buster. The greater one is on the scene. Back off, cancer. Hallelujah. The greater one is on the scene. Back off, diabetes. Back problems. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Come on. The greater one is on the scene. He's here. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. My side wins. People have said to me, "I better be careful. Don't you know the devil's the god of this world? He's not the god of my world." That's right. Come on. Hallelujah, I'm in the kingdom and he can't get in the kingdom. The Bible says except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom. Satan cannot be born again. See, now with the covenant, there had to be a complete committal and separation. God said to Abraham, leave your country, leave your relatives, leave your father's house. I believe it's twofold here. Not only Abraham, are you willing to totally give yourself to me, but I'm going to give you such a promise that you won't hardly believe it, your wife won't believe it, and your relatives absolutely won't believe it. So get out of the country, away from your family, away from your father's relatives. And God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you to a city. I'm going to make your house great. I'm going to make your name great. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham said, God, I'm 75 years old. I've been on Medicare for 10 years. And Sarah, you know, she's 65 and going on Social Security. Come on. That's Evelyn's translation, okay? Believe me, Abraham, just believe me. God said, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed. Now in Genesis 17:1, and when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. 24 years have gone by. Time means nothing with God. Some of you can't wait 24 minutes. Enoch walked with God for 365 years. Noah worked on an ark for 120 years. You need to believe God whether anybody else believes him or not, or no matter how long it takes. Frequently, facts today are not facts tomorrow. You know, the fact is, in 1950, when somebody got bad burned, they put butter on it. Anybody old enough to remember that? You don't have to tell it. Yeah, I got a few honest ones back there. Hallelujah. Today, we know that's the worst thing you could do. But Abraham believed God. He hung on 24 years. Finally, in Genesis 17, God visited him. And Abram was 99 years old when the Lord appeared before him. Goodness. I don't know what I just did. Hallelujah. I got to find my place here. He was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make a covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. See, God said he's going to multiply you. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be called any more Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Forever. Forever. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Whoa, glory. This is my covenant, Genesis 17:10. This is my covenant which you shall keep, but between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child shall among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of his foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. Now up until now there had been no bloodshed. Abraham was circumcised. Hallelujah. I keep knocking this thing out. Now, let me show you something. There had to be some commitment in that old man's heart. That was not an easy thing. Glory, I'm glad God circumcises the heart today. This was a seal. You could tell who the children of the covenant were. They had a scar. And I've told you before, when Satan unwraps your babies, don't worry. He'll find a circumcised heart. Do you see that Ishmael could have been in the covenant too? The Arabs, Ishmael was the first to be circumcised, but hatred and animosity grew, and they quit circumcising. Remember when Moses and Zipporah was going into Egypt, and the hand of God was upon Moses, and everything was going wrong, and the angel stood to kill Moses, and he wonders what's wrong, but Zipporah knew. She circumcised her son. Now back to Abraham, they cut the covenant. The next year, the son came. And the covenant is no good without a death, an animal killed, and blood sprinkled. There could be no covenant without a death. Once there was a death, the covenant was sealed and it's finished. And I'm glad to tell you that we have a new lamb. His name is Jesus. He died once and for all. His blood has been shed. I don't ever have to shed blood. Hallelujah. I got a covenant with my Father. Glory to God. And he said in Genesis 22, 2, and he said, take your son now, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee up to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I'll tell you. Abraham, give me your son, the darling of your heart, the one it took you 25 years to believe for, the child of promise. God said, we got a covenant. I want you to prove it. Abraham, give me your most precious thing. Stanley, give me your goat. Jonathan, give me your coat. Give me your child of promise. Abraham never hesitated. He knew that God would make good that covenant. Do you see faith there? Before God could ever give his only begotten son, if Abraham gave his first, God had to resurrect Isaac from the dead, because he said, the seed is not going to come through Ishmael. It's going to come through the promise. And this was a child of promise. And Abraham took Isaac, left his servants behind. Sometimes to follow God, you got to go alone. You know, you got to leave everybody else behind. Good, charismatic people pull you down. I told you that. Good Christian people try to kill you, plan your funeral, help you plan your funeral. Come on. So Abraham was so sure that they would come back, he told his servant, said, you wait here, and me and the boy will come back. Hallelujah. And Abraham took the wood for a burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac. See, Isaac carried that wood up. He carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father. He said, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, verse 8, God himself will provide a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. He built an altar, put Isaac on it, then he took the knife. And when he reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar and there arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar. Then he reached his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. Isaac said, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? God will provide himself sacrifice. He raised the knife. God said, don't do it, Abraham. I believe. I believe you. Don't lay a hand on this boy. Do not do anything to him. And Abraham looked, verse 13. He looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a lamb caught by the horn, a ram caught by the horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Hallelujah. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it's said on this mountain, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham a second time, said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of the enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:29, now because you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise God made to Abraham back then. I will bless you. I will multiply you. Hallelujah. Now I want to show you this. Every time I get in trouble, I look for a ram in the bush. You know, glory to God. Now, if this is the first one you come into, this first teaching, it may not make much sense to you, but as you put them all together, you'll see what God has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you get in trouble, just look for a ram in the bush. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now think of this. When Abraham was come up one side of the mountain, the ram was coming up on the other side. Hallelujah. You know what? It'll be there just in the nick of time. Don't get in a tizzy over your problem. Remember God, you know, back then, just remember when God got you out of something before. Remember when he answered you. Remember what you needed before and he answered you. We have a covenant with Almighty God. It's a covenant that's sealed in blood and cannot be broken. God is obligated to take care of you. He must answer because he and Jesus cut that covenant. And it was sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God has promised, I'll take care of you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. See, the covenant had to be tested. And when Abraham willingly gave his son, then Jesus willingly gave, or God willingly gave his. Now let me tell you something. Monday morning, my husband was going to take my mother, who's 96 years old, and he was going to take her down south. And, you know, her home's down there, and she'd been doing really well. And, I mean, she was chipper as all get out. She was lifting her feet up that morning because she wanted to go. Anyway, he got her down to El Paso, and they went to breakfast. And then he took her, she wanted to go to the bathroom, so he took her to the bathroom and opened the door and let her go in the women's bathroom, and he heard her holler. So he got somebody to go in there, and she had fallen. And he got her up, and she was really in a lot of pain. And he called me and said, "Evelyn, I don't know what to do." So he picked her up and carried her to the truck, and I went with the car and met him halfway, and he put her in my car, and I took her straight to the hospital. Now, before they left, I had laid hands on her and him. I had claimed the 91st Psalm. I said it out. "Lord, I put the blood of Jesus on them. I claim the 91st Psalm. No evil shall befall them. No accident will overtake them. Father, I thank you. You're going to give your angels charge over these to keep them and bear them in all their ways and keep them safe." And I had claimed all that. But here she is. I get her to the emergency room, and they had to come out and carry her. And she's just a little bitty thing, but anyway, they carried her in, and they x-rayed, and they said she's broken her bone inside the pelvis or the hip socket, and she's broken her pelvis. Now, what do you do? "Laura," you said, "I can't believe you didn't do what you said you was going to do, for crying out loud." I claim, no. Absolutely. I said, "God, you said, and you're in covenant with me, and God, you said that you'd do this, and if that 91st Psalm isn't bigger than an accident, we're in trouble. Come on. Hallelujah." I said, "I expect you to do something." Hallelujah. That was Monday. Today, they took her to rehab. 2 days, 96-year-old woman. She's been walking on her foot. Not a whole long, but you know, she's took two or three steps on a broken pelvis and a broken hip bone. God's healing that. She has had no medication except some Tylenol. And last night when they came in to see if she wanted some Tylenol, she said, "Yeah," and then she said, "No, I don't think I'll need it." Come on, people. Tonight she's sitting in the chair telling how she has no pain. Glory to God. Come on. You gotta push. You gotta push. I mean, when something happens, don't cry and snot around and be a big ball bag. I'm telling you, stand up and say, "God, you said, I'm in covenant with you, and you said." The first thing people do when they say cancer, people start to cry. Don't they? Fear comes in. They start to cry. They call everybody they know. And now, if you had cancer and you didn't do this, I'm sorry. But I've seen a lot of people do this. Hallelujah. Start to cry. And then they let all that fear come in. And then they begin to feel sorry for themselves. And then they begin to plan their funeral in their head. When they told me, I'm not saying, come on, if anybody says this, I'll get you, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying, "Look how great Sister Evelyn is. She's wonderful." I'm not saying that. I'm saying I've been studying the covenant. I've been studying the righteousness of God. And I'm going to tell you something. When they told me there was a mass in my breast, I said, "No. I tell you, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And masses and tumors and lumps and bumps and cancer cannot live on me. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ." And it couldn't. I didn't shed one tear. Because I knew, people, I knew I had a covenant with Almighty God. But the thing I'm telling you is I had studied and I'd put it in there. And that's what I beseech you. Put that word in you. I mean, try to overdose on the word of God. Put it in. Till you think you're going to just be sick on the word of God. Come on. You know, did you ever eat so much it make you sick? Something you really liked? Well, you can't get sick on the word of God. You understand? But try to overdose. Come on, try to overdose on the word of God. Get it going in till when something happens to you, you don't start to cry. You say, "No, you don't, devil. I have a covenant with Almighty God, and God will back it. All heaven is backing me." Hallelujah. You understand, all heaven is backing me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, people. Are you getting anything out of this? Come on, when something happens, don't back up and cry. Take the word of God and say, "No, you know what? It may look like it didn't work, but it's working." Every time that we'd pray for somebody and they'd go to be in heaven and the devil would say, "You lost, ha, ha, ha." Do you ever have him get up in your face and just laugh at you? "Yeah, you know, big dummy you are. No, you're the dummy. I didn't lose. I'm just getting stronger. You watch, boy. You watch. I'll take your head off. I got a sword that'll cut the head off every demon you ever met. Come on. It's called the Word of God. And you need to learn how to wield that sword. You need to begin to learn what's in the covenant for you. And stand up. Now, don't think just because you heard this, you're going to just go out and the devil's going to leave you alone. Oh, yeah, I knew you were in covenant. Pardon me. Pardon me. No. He's not going to do that. He's going to fight you tooth and nail. But you stand up and you say, no, you don't, devil. I am in a covenant with Almighty God. He has promised me certain things, and he said he would hear. He would hear, and he would heal. He would hear, and he would answer. Hallelujah. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know about. Hallelujah. Now stand up and believe for those great and mighty things. Come on. Stand up and believe for those great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. I remember Larry back there got his finger cut off at work. You remember that when that thing cut his finger off? And he called and he said, meet me and pray for me. And they didn't want to sew the finger back on, but he picked it up and took it to him anyway and said, sew it on. And he's got the finger today. You know, hallelujah, he does. Hallelujah. I know other ones that have just said, no, devil, you ain't messing with me. You ain't messing with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Push, people, push. God will answer. God will hear, and he will answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I'd ask my leaders to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask, Lord, that you not let one person misunderstand what I've said. God, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Ghost would go into hearts. God, don't let us get far from the throne. Don't let us get away with nothing. God, it's not that you haven't forgiven us, but Lord, when we get off into sin, when we do things that are against your word, God, we open the door for the enemy to come in and attack us and work on our mind and use condemnation and junk on us. And God, I just ask tonight that you put your finger on every person in here. God, keep them close to the throne. God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us be a clean body. Lord, a clean body. Father, when we're sinning, convict us and show us, God, that we might cleanse our life and walk in that cleanness. God, may you see the cleanness of our hands, God. Because of what Jesus did. Lord, you said sin shall not have dominion over me. And Lord, I ask tonight that sin wouldn't have dominion over any of us. The word of God is able to bring itself to pass. So I just speak that. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In Jesus' name. Lord, I know this is a healing service. But God, in Jesus' name, I believe, God, that we need to stand before you clean. As clean as we know how to be, God, and claim what you did for us. God, in Jesus' name, on the one hand, you say all our sins are forgiven, and I believe it. But on the other hand, you've given us certain things that we need to do. So, God, just keep us in your power, God. Keep us under that covering, under that covenant of Almighty God. And Lord, help us not ever to get to a place where the devil has a right to come in and do things to us and touch us, God. You said the devil came and he found nothing in me. That's what you said. And God, I ask that we live such clean lives that he finds nothing in us. In Jesus' name. And I know, you know, as I pray that, I want to make sure that you know I'm not just saying, go out and sin all you want to because your sins are already covered. Yeah, they are. But if you get into willful, disobedient sin, you give the devil place to come into your life. And don't think he won't come. And then you got to fight condemnation and all kinds of stuff and get rid of little boogers that come in and try to live with you. Okay. You might call them demons. I call them boogers. Hallelujah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, now I pray healing and I ask, God, that you'll just take this word, God, and let it be impacted into their hearts. And, God, we pray that we be a clean body and that we walk with you all the days of our life, and that we be a children that you can use and take in and minister to people with, in Jesus' name. Now, if you got a need, it don't matter what the need, if you need a healing in anything, healing in your finances, healing in your body, you come. We'll lay hands on you and pray. We'll believe God to get you healed. Okay? Hallelujah.